Now, this week is the 2017 EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. The event showcases aviation technology, living history, and cultural stories. This year's event commemorated the 75th anniversary of World War II's Doolittle Raid and the 70th anniversary of the U.S. Air Force. Meg Jones joins us now. She covers military and veterans issues for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Meg, great to have you back with us.
Nice to be here.
Well, you've been zeroing in this year, among other things, on veterans at the EAA Air Venture. And this year saw the 75th anniversary of the Doolittle Raid. Can you tell us a little bit about that part of World War II history?
Sure. The Doolittle Raid happened in April 1942. It was about 4 months after the Pearl Harbor attack. And America was reeling at that time. And it had lost a lot of its naval power. And the powers that be decided to do a very daring, very audacious raid and basically take the battle to the Japanese homeland. So what they did was they got 16 B-25 Mitchell bombers, which are named after Milwaukee native Billy Mitchell. And these bombers were designed to take off from airfields, not from the deck of an aircraft carrier. But they modified them, and they trained the pilots, who, by the way, did not know that they were going to Japan until they were at sea for 2 days. And they taught them how to take off from an aircraft carrier. So basically, this from the USS Hornet is steaming toward Japan, and they wanted to get within around 400 miles of Japan because this is a one-way flight for these guys. They had enough fuel to get to Japan and then fly on to China or to Russia, where they would have to crash land their planes, but then hopefully survive the landings and then make it back to safety. But their carrier force was discovered by a Japanese fishing boat, and the Japanese fishing boat radioed ahead to the Japanese authorities. So they had to take off way earlier and much farther out. So, but all of them survived the bombings that they did in Japan, and then they crash landed in China and in Russia. Three guys died that night in the raid, and an additional four men were killed later by the Japanese, but most of them survived. And of the 60 men that flew on the Doolittle Raid, there's only one guy still alive. His name is Richard Cole. He's 101 years old, and he spoke here today in Oshkosh. Hmm. And I must say, it was a fabulous. It was a really, really cool thing because there was hundreds of people that just basically stood up and gave this guy a standing ovation and listened to him. You know, a living history person telling what it was like, what the Doolittle Raid was like. It was really, really cool.
Wow, that's really amazing. And tonight, actually, there's going to be a recreation of the takeoff of the Doolittle Raid. What are you expecting to see?
Well, so the B-25 bomber, there's only about 40 or 50 of them still flying, and about a dozen of them, I'm pretty sure I saw a dozen, are here. And they've come from all over the nation. And once the B-25 owners found out that Air Venture was going to be doing this homage to the Doolittle Raid, they all flew in. And it was really kind of cool because this morning they had all dozen of them parked nose to tail, like they were parked on the deck of the USS Hornet. So tonight, barring the weather, it's raining right now, but if it clears up, what they're going to be doing at the night air show is all 12 of those B-25 bombers are going to take off just like they did off the deck of the USS Hornet. So it should be really cool to see.
Wow, yeah, that's going to be a sight. And Meg, this year's EAA in Oshkosh is also marking the 70th anniversary of the Air Force and the 8th Air Force Bomb Group from World War II. Can you tell us a little about that?
Sure. There's been, they get 10,000 planes coming up here to Oshkosh, ranging from the latest technology to vintage biplanes and warbirds. But this year, amongst the warbirds, and a warbird is basically a military plane, and it can be from any country. They've got Russian planes and Canadian planes that were used during combat. But they've made a big emphasis on bombers. And what's really cool is they've got lots of the old bombers. There's B-25s, there's B-17s. There's the only two flying B-29 Super Fortresses, Those are the huge planes that drop lots of bombs in Europe, and also the Enola Gay was the B-29, the plane that that dropped the bombs in Japan, the atomic bombs in Japan. But then also what's cool is that they've got the latest bombers. So you can see a B-1 bomber, you can see a B-2 bomber. These are bombers that are now being flown by our American military forces. And it's cool because they've been doing what they call heritage flights. So they'll take up an old bomber and a new bomber and then a couple of chase planes, and it looks really, really cool.
And briefly, we've heard a lot about the historic aspects that can be seen at the EAA, but there's also something that definitely looks towards the future. There's a demo of a so-called flying car. What can you tell us about that, Meg?
Yeah, so there's actually a couple of companies that are trying to come up with a flying car. And there have been flying cars before. I mean, there have been cars that have flown, but none that have been manufactured for large commercial use. But last night I went to a session by Uber, and they're coming up with a new program called Uber Elevate. And they're not actually building the planes, but they're working with aircraft companies to come up with basically, it's called vertical takeoff and landing, which sounds like a helicopter, but it's not a helicopter. And they said, we don't want helicopters because they're too loud and they're too noisy. But basically, they were saying that you'd be able to, and they're hoping to start flying testing in 3 years, and then by 2023, people will actually, instead of, you'd have your Uber app, but instead of pointing, pushing a button that's got a car, you'll push a button that's got an airplane, and you'll basically book a flight like you would for an Uber flight.
Wow.
And so there's a couple of car companies here. There's one called the Switchblade, which basically is the blades, like the wings, basically fold underneath the car like a switchblade. And it's basically like a motorcycle, but like a three-wheeled motorcycle. And they're also taking it. When I talked to the guy yesterday, he said, well, I've already gotten 58 people putting down money, that don't want to buy them. So the whole idea is that when you fly somewhere, you have to rent a car, or you're kind of stuck, or there's times when you're stuck in traffic in your car, and you think, oh, wouldn't it be great just to let fly above all
that? Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the whole idea why a flying car. So I don't know how much closer we are to the Jetsons than we were 5 or 10 years ago, but if you've got Uber getting involved in this, then there's some might behind it, because basically people don't like to sit in traffic, and they'll do anything they can to get to their destination a little bit quicker.
Well, Meg, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about the EAA this year.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Meg Jones covers military and veterans issues for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Joined us to talk about this year's EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh.